Welcome in, everyone, and thank you for listening to the 240th ever episode of the Missouri Sports Podcast, brought to you by 106 Apparel and recording from the Revel Advertising Studio in beautiful Springfield, Missouri. I'm one of your hosts, Cameron Albert, alongside my good friend and fellow Mizzou fan, Kyle DeVries. How are you doing today, Kyle?
Doing great today, Cameron. How about you?
I'm doing very well. Kind of slow time for sports right now. Baseball's starting back up.
Yeah.
Are we into that?
Not really. Whenever I was, when I was young, I would watch the Cardinals every single night. It's not really anymore. They're hard to watch. Thank you, baseball.
Exactly. Major League Baseball just doing the worst. They're hard, like trying to get their product out in front of people's eyes.
Yes. It's hard to actually find the game. Every once in a while, I'll tune into the Cardinals, but even maybe on the radio or something like that. It's kind of fun, but haven't watched the game. Haven't watched any of it yet.
I know we got some Royals fans that listen, and they're having a rough time.
Yeah.
It sounds like the Royals have already given up on their season. They're like paying people to come to games. So,
yeah.
I have noticed, people are liking the pitch clock stuff, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
shaved off a lot of time in games.
Yeah.
And scoring was up like big time in the first, five games or so. Obviously, really small sample size, but comparatively, like year to year over last year, it was up quite a bit.
Yeah, I saw a tweet that said that the games in the first however many games, there was only like four that went over 3 hours. Mm. And in those four games, the scores were like 7-10, like very high scoring baseball games.
Yeah.
And I kind of understand the people that are saying like, oh, baseball's making these changes for people that don't even watch baseball right now. That's maybe a little bit true.
That could be true.
They're trying to get people back. Maybe they should just cater more to the people that are currently watching.
Yeah. They got to
make it
more.
But it feels like a change that people will just get used to and stop thinking about.
They got to make it more available, though. That seems like the easiest decision ever.
Yeah. Yeah. All the like regional cable networks and stuff, that those TV contracts, I think, have messed stuff up big time. But if they just tomorrow were like, actually, now you can stream all the Cardinals games, I'd be like, I don't know, because it wouldn't be cheap.
Right.
I don't know. There was a time where I would have signed up for that in a heartbeat. Well, what's going on in the world of Mizzou? We've got a little bit of football recruiting to talk about. We have basketball transfer portal season to talk about, and I want to talk about roster construction a little bit more. And so before we get into all of that, don't forget to subscribe on YouTube, leave us a review wherever you listen to us, and of course support us on Patreon if you want. patreon.com/MissouriSportsPod. Actually, right off the bat, the NCAA tournament finished. UConn with just an incredible run. They were actually really fun to watch. I had shouted out Miami previously as being the team that I was really enjoying, and UConn every bit as entertaining. The national championship game, though, was kind of kind of boring.
Yeah, UConn really dominant. We knew they were good coming in. They were underseeded, but obviously played a lot better than I think anybody probably could have imagined. I wanted to give you a shout out because we were in a player pool competition that our buddy Ryan D. Moore got us in, and it was really fun. I don't think either one of us had done something like that before, but we picked individual players instead of teams, and out of like 100 plus people, you tied for second place, got a nice little payout. So that was kind of fun watching your players actually. Once I was done and out of it, we were kind of following along with you because you were doing well.
Yeah, I needed Matt Bradley for San Diego State to do something in the national championship game. I mean, that's that whole... this was the first time we had done it, so we weren't really sure the strategy or whatever, but obviously, if you have a player that makes it to the Final Four, makes it to the national championship game, they've racked up a decent amount of points. Of course, I think Bradley was like one of the lowest scoring options of anybody to make it that far, which is kind of disappointing, but... Yeah, couldn't quite pull off the win there, but that was a really fun little competition. Definitely going to be looking forward to that next year. And in our podcast bracket challenge, actually Ryan got second place in that. No prize for you, Ryan, for getting second place. Sorry. The winner was Evan Kettman. So we'll be reaching out to Evan for a prize. congratulations to Evan. He had UConn winning the whole thing. And when you pick the winner right, that's a pretty good advantage. Okay, so let's talk football a little bit here at the beginning. There is a big announcement tomorrow for Mizzou football recruiting. Don't think this one's going to go our way, but Andrew Sprague, top five player in the state of Missouri, offensive lineman, is announcing his college decision tomorrow. And it sure seems like he's going to go to Michigan.
Yeah, early on, I kind of felt like Mizzou had some momentum in Andrew's commitment and Andrew's recruitment. I agree. I don't think they're going to get him tomorrow. It's a bummer, man. The 2024 class, which, you know, there's a long way to go, which I feel like I famously say, but the top, I don't know, 5 to 7 guys, it's just not looking good for Mizzou. So, you know, we've talked about how Missouri will make a living in other ways, and they've been fine doing that, but it sure helps when you can get a few of those top 5 guys in the state.
Especially when you look at some of these positions, like the number one player in the state of Missouri is the number 3 player in the country is a defensive lineman. We're talking about an offensive lineman probably going to Michigan. We're talking about Ryan Wingo, one of the top players in the country. He's right now, Crystal Balls have him going to Tennessee. So, yeah.
Which out of anybody, Ryan Wingo is probably the one guy that we do have a shot with. But at a position where we may not need as much help.
Yeah, I mean, we take him in a heartbeat. He could be, right. He's going to be an incredible college wide receiver, but mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, we've talked about before, like the defensive line, the offensive line, man, there's been some elite talents from the state of Missouri.
Yeah.
And it's hard. They're going to Oklahoma. They're going to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
They're going to Ohio State.
Right. Then those are some of the most difficult positions to replicate at the top of college football too, because some of those elite guys in the trenches, you just can't compete with the big boys in the trenches if you aren't getting the elite athletes. And you know, you can make up for it at running back or wide receiver or something like that, but in the trenches, man, it's tough to do.
Yeah, so Missouri's path to competing in those areas has been recruit the guys that project to what we need as juniors and seniors. And what's crazy is even the top guys at those positions aren't usually making an impact until they're juniors and seniors. So the projections have to be pretty accurate, and there has to be a lot of work put in developing these like 3-star guys to try to get an entire offensive or defensive line that's going to make a difference for you in the SEC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're really projecting out long term with those positions, which that's where the transfer portal can really help out Mizzou, and kind of get guys on the second round. Maybe they want to kind of like a Mookie Cooper, if they want to transfer to Mizzou from a kind of, I guess you would say, probably a higher level, or if you want to go down and grab a Marcellus Johnson from an Eastern Michigan or something like that. Missouri's got to make some hay in the transfer portal for sure.
So with looking at the 2024 list and kind of how some of these projections are you officially worried about the in-state guys here? Are you worried at all about the class as a whole? Still very early, but what are the vibes right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, it's just there's no point in being worried, especially in recruiting. I think, I mean, obviously, whenever you can put a class together that the rankings says is good, you know, if you can do that year after year, obviously you're gonna it's going to work out more often than the teams that don't.
Yeah.
But we know how like fickle recruiting is and how often we get those things wrong, and you know, it's difficult to project college players to the next level, much less high school players to college. I think that's one of the most difficult things, and it's just there's not very much correlation a lot of the time unless you're talking about elite. So I'm not worried yet. You know, I think there's a lot of time for Missouri to find other options if they feel like they're going to miss out with some of these top guys, which I'm sure at this point there's some where they feel like that's probably already the case. There's a lot of other good talent in Texas. You know, there's guys that are getting looked over. That seems to happen every single year. So with those two things in mind, I'm not worried yet.
Yeah.
Are you worried?
It's creeping in.
You're creeping in?
Yeah. It just, I'm bad about just like looking at 24/7 sports and seeing Oklahoma, Tennessee, Michigan, Ohio State, Notre Dame, and just be like, okay, it's going to be one of those classes.
Yeah.
But I think another thing that kind of eases my mind a little bit is how this staff, how Coach Drinkwitz has been able to go get four-star players from out of state. We've talked about that before. It's very rare for Mizzou football. And the fact that he's able to do that to kind of make up for some of these misses in state is huge. Mm-hmm. And I think is if we're going to overcome missing out on some of these guys, it's got to come from, like you said, Texas. I mean, we've grabbed guys from Georgia, North Carolina, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we're in the first week of April, and honestly, I don't really feel like recruiting really gets in full swing until June or July. Those are really kind of the biggest football recruiting months. So maybe we'll reconvene in a month or two, and we'll see how things are going. So I wouldn't panic yet, but, you know, we've had better starts, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so spinning this positively, I can't look at this 2 months from now and be like too terribly disappointed. I'm setting myself up right now for not getting any of these guys.
Right.
So
you've already, yeah, exactly. You're not expecting too much.
Yeah. That's how we roll over here on this side of the table.
Yeah. I like the start we've got to this class too. We've got some talented guys that are on board. You like to, you know how to manipulate yourself.
Oh yeah. That's, I mean, what is sports if you're not doing that a little bit?
Exactly.
I play mind games with yourself sometimes. We talked before we started recording, we were talking about NIL in football compared to basketball. And there's something there. It seems like what we've seen with this NCAA tournament and with the off seasons the last couple years and some big names like going into the transfer portal just to kind of stir up their fan base into maybe ponying up some cash, it seems like it has evened the playing field more in basketball recruiting than it has in football. Am I misreading that at all? Or what do you think is going on, the difference between basketball and football with NIL and maybe like Mizzou's inability to turn that into big-time recruits more often?
Yeah, I mean, it just does seem like it's the case across the board in football more than in basketball. And obviously, I think we're probably coming off of an outlier NCAA tournament as far as, you know, we talked about it a little bit where, you know, it was the oldest tournament ever, the most experience that we've ever seen across the board in a tournament. But the results were just insane. Like the one seeds, like coming into the tournament, we even knew that. The playing field was a lot more level than we've seen. The one seeds were not as far superior as they normally are. There wasn't like one dominant team. The landscape was pretty even across college basketball all season long. And I'm sure a lot of that probably was that, you know, the COVID year that's creeping in. There's older players, more experienced, but the players are going to the NBA, going to professional careers, I would guess, say a much lower rate now that NIL is a factor. And but we really saw that take a massive effect in college basketball, and maybe that's because there's only five guys on the floor at one time. But in football, we have not seen that happen yet. And until that happens a little bit, the product just isn't that great in my mind. And
across the sport as a whole.
Yes. Yeah. And that's, I mean, I still love college football. Like, it's not that I don't love to watch the sport or anything, but it's just never going to be. It's just never going to hit that next gear until, you know, we have something that's other than what we currently have with, you know, one or two teams. You can predict the Final Four before the season starts, and be right most of the time. And I just think something has to be done. I don't know what that is, but NIL has got to be a bigger deal in college football. And maybe it really is just kind of the numbers game where still the big boys are going to win out most of the time. And when you've got 11 elite players on the field, it's just, there's not that much that can be done.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. I was thinking about like the difference between getting a top recruit via NIL versus like for Mizzou specifically, getting a top recruit using NIL as an incentive, which I guess supposedly is against the rules still, but it obviously isn't, versus retaining your players once they kind of blow up a little bit.
Exactly.
And I feel like, I don't know, I feel like it has kind of gone both ways a little bit. Like, I'm thinking about Wingo, who transferred to LSU. Maybe he didn't have enough notoriety within Columbia to like spin up a bunch of NIL opportunities, but NIL is a reason I'm very confident that Luther Burden, for example, will spend his entire college career with Mizzou because he, like we've talked about before, is going to be one of 10 five-star players at Georgia or Alabama competing for these NIL dollars, when at Mizzou he can command whatever he wants just about until he goes pro.
Right. And it does seem like in football, maybe we've almost heard about it in a recruiting sense more so than retaining players. Like in college basketball, we've heard about, you know, Kobe has a, there's a pretty good chance Kobe might stick around because of the network that he's built through NIL.
Yes.
And in football, I feel like we heard it a lot about kind of recruiting Luther Burden.
Yeah.
But I agree with you that also it's a big reason why we will retain Luther Burden, but he seems like one of the really only players I can think of off the top of my head that I've seen a lot of NIL stuff with on the football team.
Yeah, I feel like there's been a handful of players that have their little deals with local companies, which is great. I like that. Honestly, that's the, that feels like the more, the more wholesome avenue that just like,
that's what it was supposed to be.
A good story all around.
Yeah.
And in basketball, it does feel like we've seen that, like players entering the transfer portal just to be like, hey, look, this is what my market value is. Like, these teams are offering me this after I had a, you know, all conference type season. But I definitely feel like Mizzou ought to be able to use NIL in basketball to keep players in school versus like going overseas to play. In football, though, it seems like we just the teams that we know, the programs that we know about using it as a recruiting tool, like the first thing that comes to mind is Texas A&M.
Oh, yeah.
And how that has just not worked at all for them so far.
Like on the field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how like the players are going there for a year and then transferring and like keeping all the money.
Yeah.
That's wild. Which, good for them.
That's fine.
But that's, I don't know. There's still so much to figure out. I still feel like Mizzou's in a good spot with the direction of the athletic department as a whole in how it pertains to NIL.
Yeah.
So do we have some NIL money to throw around to some of these transfers? That's what I want to know. Let's just jump into basketball portal season. Names off the top that are worth keeping track of. Obviously, the big one is Caleb Love. And there's been rumors that it was down to Mizzou and Indiana, and then some Indiana fan sites were basically telling their fans, hey, maybe forget about Caleb Love. And then I saw some tweets linking him to Michigan, so maybe Michigan's jumping in.
Yeah, some of the most credible sources I've seen in various outlets seem to think that Michigan has kind of made a late push, but it's kind of down to Michigan and Missouri are the biggest players right now.
And I've seen, for my taste, for my pessimistic, scared of everything going bad taste, I've seen way too much of people thinking it's a sure thing Caleb Love is coming to Mizzou. And I'm scared to think like that. But I've also seen, in my opinion, too many people not wanting Mizzou to go after Caleb Love.
Yeah.
I think I'm all in on wanting him to come. In the last week, since it's been more real, the possibility, I've been watching more of his highlights and stuff. Obviously, watching more of them from two seasons ago versus this past season. But I thought it was worth mentioning, like, his sophomore season in North Carolina, he averaged 16 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, shot 36% from 3, played 34 minutes per game. You want that on your team. He still scored almost 17 points per game this past year, but was just incredibly, like, historically inefficient. I think he's going to bounce back from that. I don't know. Is there more to say about Caleb Love? I think you just, especially watching this past year, Mizzou, I feel like we could have benefited from a guy that, yeah, maybe he's streaky, maybe he like goes quiet sometimes, but I feel like we needed one more guy that could just go off and carry the team from time to time.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would definitely want Caleb Love to come to Mizzou. I can certainly understand the argument, though, just about the inefficiency. He was really inefficient, honestly, for the most part, like in all three of his seasons. His sophomore season was his best season. But I think you do welcome some explosive volatility, and because you are going to see some – you'll see some swings high and low for sure, but you would hope that, you know, in the hands of Dennis Gates, they can find a way to kind of mitigate the volatility on the low side and find scoring from other places. But and you know, Caleb Love, even just the threat of him being on the floor is just gonna create so many opportunities for other players too. So yeah, I would say I'm like ever so slightly less all in than you, but definitely on board. And I still think that Missouri probably is the favorite as of now to land him, and it just shows, you know, the caliber of teams that are after him. Michigan, Indiana, some of mm-hmm. those teams are just three of the finalists, really. Tells you that Missouri should want to be involved with Caleb Love.
Okay, give me a percentage chance that he is a Missouri Tiger next year.
68%.
Okay.
What are you thinking?
That sounds about right. Give me 75%. Mm. Yeah.
I like that.
I think it's happening.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to go all in. I'm not ready to count the chickens, count the eggs. I don't know.
Yeah, we don't need a what was it, Jalen Daniels situation? Was that his name?
Seriously, I feel like we've had like two or three in like
where like credible sources are saying like, yeah, this is pretty much potentially a done deal, and then people start saying stuff publicly on Twitter, and then yeah,
oof. Let's not go that route.
Let's just not celebrate until the battle's over here.
That's what I'm saying. Who else are we after? We talked about a lot of names last week. A couple of new names to maybe keep track of. One guy we talked about this time last year, Fardaz Amak. He most recently played for Texas Tech and I think he was hurt mm-hmm. a good portion of this past season. Didn't get to play very much, but he is listed at 6'11", and he is kind of like a... He's probably the most... Oh, there's that guy from Wyoming, mm-hmm. but I would say Amak is like a more of a post-scoring threat.
Yeah.
Crafty around the basket, like a guy that you could, at the high major level, could get you like 15 points per game.
Yeah.
Best case scenario,
this probably. Time last year, he was pretty much the number one transfer in college basketball. Just because of his incredible scoring and rebounding ability.
He was coming from a small school.
It's like Utah Valley or something like that. Yeah. Unfortunately for him, he was hurt a lot of the time in Texas Tech. They weren't as good as a lot of people expected him to be. But, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I heard he was transferring. This was one that I kind of just put out of my mind because I just assumed this, again, he would be a top five transfer on the market, and he probably is still. I'm totally pleasantly shocked that Missouri isn't on him.
Yeah, and to the point or to the extent that I think this was confirmed, but I'm just going off of Twitter rumors, and it sounded like he was on campus for a visit.
Yeah,
this past weekend.
Yeah.
So
it sounds pretty serious. Which, if you're in the transfer portal, I mean, it's one thing if you're a high school player taking visits. If you are in the transfer portal and you take a physical visit to a school. Yeah,
that's fairly serious.
That's pretty serious.
Yeah. Sign me up, absolutely.
That would just be absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
We talked about it actually pre-show a little bit. I asked you, would you prefer Caleb Love or Fardaz Amak? And, I mean, that's close for me. And, I love Caleb Love, but I love. But love Tyler Beatty, too.
Yeah.
But that's close for me, man. That's a coin flip.
Yeah, I feel like just on that, those two options, now I'm questioning myself, but I think I would go Caleb Love just because he would bring something more of a dynamic offensive threat. And AMAC's definitely a good offensive post player for sure, but I feel like what we needed more, like, you know, we were the top 10 offensive efficiency team all season long. What we needed was paint defense and rebounding. And so if we don't get that, but we get a more polished scoring big, I don't know that that puts us over the hump as much. I don't know. I could be completely wrong there. I would take him in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. But
it might lead to a little bit less high-risk, high-reward style of play.
True. Yeah. Yeah. Adding Caleb Love probably doesn't do that.
Probably not. Yeah, it probably actually exasperates the the style of play.
Potentially. Yeah, so keep an eye on him. Another post player that obviously we're still thinking, Jamarion Sharp seems like a good fit, seems like, you know, he, former coach Smith Peters on the staff, so still seems like a good match. Everything makes sense there.
He's playing hard to get.
Been really quiet. No rumors, really, so we'll see. But I would still take him.
Yeah.
Another post player that is in the portal that Missouri has reached out to is Micah Handlogton. He is 7 foot from Marshall. He's originally from North Carolina. It sounds like Missouri's making a decent push to try to land him. He's only played one season, so 3 years of eligibility.
Yeah.
And as a freshman from Marshall, not the toughest competition, but he averaged like 8 points and 10 rebounds per game and shot 66% from the field. Played quite a few minutes, like 25 minutes per game or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I mean, that's an attractive option, maybe more as like a ceiling play, less of a plug and play kind of option like AMAC or Caleb Love would be. Like those guys are
sharp,
plug and play,
the 1 year guys. Yeah.
Yes, and see how well you can do. I think that would be more of a long term guy that could help out a lot over the next couple of years.
I mean, if you're talking about Fardaz AMAC, Jamarion Sharp, and this guy, Micah Handlogton, give me two of those three. Like, give me the younger one plus one of these one-year guys. Mm.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, that's like too nice to even think about. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. At this point, I think if you're Mizzou, you're definitely adding a one-year big.
Yeah.
And if you could add a younger guy with more eligibility to kind of be the secondary five, seems pretty like a pretty good idea.
We talked about Eddie Lampkin last week. He committed to Colorado.
Yeah, former TCU so player.
He's off the board.
That's basically all I have as far as like new names to pay attention to. It's been kind of quiet.
Tamar Bates still out there. Sounds like the hot names have been Missouri and Kansas State for Tamar Bates. He seems like maybe not the top priority, but a kind of maybe a 3-and-D kind of guy who's kind of tough on the perimeter. You can always take those kind of guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I would see him less of a, like, he doesn't raise your ceiling incredibly, but I think he raises your floor as a team.
Absolutely, yeah. He's the transfer from Indiana who is originally from Kansas City.
I was looking at some of the conversations around, I want to talk about like roster construction a little bit. And I was looking at some of the conversations around some of the Elite Eight teams and the Final Four teams in this tournament. And something that I saw coming up a lot with some of the big college basketball analysts was having an 8-man rotation consisting of 4 guards, 4 forwards, and basically within that framework, you can do a lot of different things, have a lot of different styles of play, but you basically want 4 backcourt guys, 4 frontcourt guys that you can rely on that are more or less interchangeable to some extent. The more interchangeable they are, the better. And like within those 2 separate groups, I think I was comparing that to this year's Mizzou team versus like Konzo Martin positionless basketball teams. And it seemed like those Konzo teams were trying to put those 2 groups into 1 large group of forwards.
Yeah.
And
just mucking everything up.
Yeah. And I like this idea, 4 guards, 4 forwards, and try to make those 2 groups of players the best they can possibly be.
Yeah.
So I was playing around a little bit with what next year's roster could look like. And I came up with four guards: Nick Honor, Caleb Love, Kurt Lewis, the JUCO transfer, and Sean East, who has not confirmed he's returning. Neither Honor or East have confirmed that they're returning, but we're just going to assume that for this exercise. And in real life, I think that's going to happen. So Honor, Love, Lewis, East are my guards, and then my forwards are Kobe Brown, who also has not confirmed anything, Tanjay, the transfer from Colorado State, Noah Carter, who has confirmed he is returning, and Jamarion Sharp. Does that sound like a pretty nice top eight guys? You got multiple ball handlers. You got guys that can make threes. You got two bigger wing forward type players that can make outside shots. Three of those, really. And then Sharp cleaning up the glass, clogging the paint.
Yeah.
Sounds like a really good little rotation there.
Yeah, I think I'm good with that. I feel like if I was going to add anywhere, it might just be kind of like a more prototypical wing player. But for the most part, I think that covers the bases pretty well.
I think with that setup, Kurt Lewis and Tanjay they're kind of like that in-between guard and forward.
Yeah, I kind of did forget about Tanjay. He does kind of fill that role pretty well that I was thinking we were lacking there.
So in roster construction for this offseason, I think that's kind of what I'm looking for, is that 4-4.
Mm-hmm.
And then that leaves room for like your 9th and 10th guys to be younger players that just need a few minutes per game to kind of work their way into the system.
Yeah.
Which hypothetically would be Aiden Shaw and Trent Pierce.
Yeah. I'd love Trent Pierce to be able to get some run next year, because I don't know how he's not going to be able to, because he looks ready to contribute already.
Yeah. There's been some, his team went pretty far in like the high school national championships.
Yeah, to I the think point they that, made it to the championship.
Okay, to the point that they were televised. And so, yeah, some highlights were floating around Twitter and stuff that I was checking into. Got me excited about this recruiting class all over again.
Pretty sure his team lost to Link Academy.
Okay.
Someone can fact check
Aaron Rowe and company?
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah, you know Link's good when Aaron Rowe is nothing more than a depth piece.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts.
But yeah, I saw some footage of Trent Pierce, and I mean, he's like, what, 6'9"?
Mm-hmm.
He shoots really, really well. A great shooter, really versatile, explosive athlete. Maybe it seems unfair to compare him to other players in the team, but I mean, a lot of people were excited about Aiden Shaw. We were excited about Aiden Shaw and his athleticism, which I think that translated to some extent this season. At least he kind of did what we expected him to do.
Absolutely.
But I feel like Trent Pierce, skill wise, is ahead of where Aiden Shaw was at this point last year, and I think that he could be a really, really good player.
Yeah, I think especially with his size, I mean, best case scenario, he's a guy that you're talking about leaving early.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Yep.
And top 100 recruit.
I think that's 100% within his range of outcomes.
And, I mean, there's a very decent chance that even if he's not quite to that level, we're talking about a guy who is maybe a starter more often than not for mm-hmm. 3 out of his 4 seasons.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to hype him up too much, but he just really is like kind of the mold of a player that just has unlimited ceiling in college basketball. Just all the intangibles the tangibles as well. Just all the skills, the size, everything you're looking for a player that can kind of just absolutely blow up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so that's another reason I don't mind. I feel like, you know, this past season was senior heavy. We're going to be pretty senior heavy again this year with guys that are out of eligibility.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like Aiden Shaw and this freshman class.
Yeah.
So bringing in a transfer that has more than 1 year of eligibility to kind of help ease that transition into this younger group.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me.
It's kind of a crazy mixture for roster construction too, or just in general, because I feel like this freshman class kind of has more pedigree, a little more talent than in size than Missouri had on their team this year. You know, Missouri was running a lot of guys who came from mid-major, even JUCO ball. So it's like, it's pretty different. You know, some of these freshman guys coming in are coming in with a lot more pedigree recruiting wise.
Yeah. And it's kind of, I mean, with the season that Missouri had this year, it's kind of allowed the fan base to kind of sleep on this recruiting class a little bit. When they get on campus, they're going to wake people up for sure. I was playing around with these additions and subtractions from this past season, and what do you know? BartTorvik.com.
He's always there for us.
He's got just this nice little tool on his website where you can just have fun imagining different rosters and what they might contribute on the court. And it's all very silly and basically means nothing, but I couldn't help myself. And so what I did is I looked at on Bart Torvik, it's called the roster cast, and you can look at the roster as it sits right now. Now, BartTorvik.com has Sean East returning by default, which is not a guarantee, but we're going to go with it. So not counting Kobe Brown, Nick Honor, or any other potential transfers into the program, BartTorvik.com said that the Missouri Tigers would be ranked 72 in the country in the advanced metrics, which is not terrible.
Seems decent.
Yeah, I mean, that's with like the transfer John Tonjay as like your best player, Noah Carter right behind him. So what this website allows you to do is just add players. So I added back Kobe Brown and Nick Honor. And then why not? I added Caleb Love and Jamarion Sharp just to match my four guards and four forwards. And that brought Missouri's rank all the way up to 28. So this is trying to take into account all of these players' production up to this point, their usage, their offensive rating, that sort of thing, and their experience. And man, I would be thrilled if Missouri puts together a roster that is around 25 to 30 in the preseason rankings.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, well, I think what we saw, at least kind of our hypothesis this season, was, you know, you get a little bit of a bump in the analytics all season long. If they expect you to be good and you start high at the beginning of the season, you're going to be favored all season long.
And the biggest thing for Missouri in making that happen is Kobe Brown returning.
Yeah.
And that's, I feel really good about him coming back. That's another thing. It's been a little bit quiet, but I think, I don't know.
No news is good news so far?
I think so. I think that's kind of been the way it is with all the seniors that have the option to return. Mm-hmm. I think it's just going to be quiet, and then they're going to announce they're returning. Maybe not all of them will announce through the Antlers Twitter account, but that's what Noah Carter did.
Yeah. Okay, so what happens if you put AMAC in there instead of Sharp? Can you switch those out?
Let me see.
I bet they're top 20 at that point, maybe. I don't know how much one person moves the needle.
Let me see what I can do here. There he is.
Little recalibration here.
Yeah. You might have to fill some time while I attempt this.
Oh, now you put me in the spot.
The one thing that I did notice with this little exercise is Bart Torvik loves Kobe Brown. Just adding Kobe took it from like 72 to like 40.
Oh my.
Yeah. So, I mean, that makes sense. Like a senior coming back for another year after he was all conference.
Incredible efficiency like on offense. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Okay, just need to add. We're adding Caleb Love as well, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was pretty much exactly the scenario that you had, just switch out Sharp for Fardaw's AMAC.
Okay, it's calculating.
All right, Bart, give us what we want to hear.
29.
What?
So, yeah, and that's with...
So we got worse?
Yeah, apparently.
Wow.
Bart Torvik wants that defensive efficiency to be better, I guess.
Huh.
It improved the offensive efficiency, but then getting rid of Sharp lowered the defensive efficiency more
Wow.
Than we gained on offense.
How many minutes does it have him playing? Do you have that?
60% of minutes.
Huh. And Sharp was probably less than
30,
that?
30, yeah.
Very interesting, Bart.
Yeah. And also, it's worth noting, Bart has Trent Pierce as one of the top 10 projected contributors on next year's team, no matter what.
So that's above all the other freshmen,
and
Caleb Brown.
And, yeah, Majok. So, yeah.
Okay.
Man, I don't know. I feel like probably Mizzou fans would feel a little bit slighted if we hauled in that kind of transfer class and Kobe returned and we weren't preseason top 25 in, like, the polls.
Yeah.
Which I could understand that.
Yeah.
Just put us at 25th just so we can relax. That's what I say. Yeah.
Give us something to be happy about.
But, yeah, if you want to play around with that for yourself, barttorvik.com/rostercast. Fun to play around with. Anything else here? We're still feeling pretty good about this basketball offseason, though, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Optimistic. Until some of these bigs decide to go elsewhere,
yeah,
I'm going to be pretty optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
If we can't land a guy that's like, okay, we've got our starter at the five spot.
They clearly want that. Yeah. So if we don't get it, then I'll be a little disappointed.
Worst case scenario, let's grab one of these younger guys that maybe aren't at the top of our list, but maybe we could swing them by being like, hey, listen, you can just come here and be the starter. I don't know. Anything else, Kyle, before we get out of here?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Well, if you play around on Bart Torvik and see how you can make next year's Mizzou team ranked number one. See, how many? You'd have to add like Drew Timmy and Max A. Smith and...
It's a no-go.
Yeah, then maybe we'd be preseason number one. All right. Well, special thank you to our Patreon supporters at the $10 level and above. Britt Treese, Brian Smith, Ryan DeMore, Tristan, Ben Smith, Parker, Daddy JD, Tim Keens, Tyler Harsel, Brandon Garofalo, Brandon Hanks, Matthew Tilly, and Cooper Boyer. Thank you.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. You can find this podcast on Spotify, Google Podcast, and Apple Podcast. We're on Twitter at Mizzou Sports Pod, which are, you know, Elon's been killing our follower count. You know, we've just been going down steadily the last couple days.
Twitter followers going down?
Yeah. They've just been jumping ship, man. I don't know.
Yikes. We must have had a bunch of bots.
Probably.
I heard they're clearing out the bots.
Yeah, that's probably true. And you can email us at MissouriSportsPod@gmail.com.
You can find our t-shirts and stickers on our online shop, MissouriSportsPod.bigcartel.com.
Thank you everyone for listening. We will see you next week.